Welcome to Leaked, a program about food issues and questions around the community. Join Barry as he chews up the facts and spills the beans on what's happening in the secret life of food.
Hi everyone, how have everyone been? My name is Barry and welcome back to my program. So, this week we'll be talking about eggs. I know it's kind of like an interesting ingredient. I mean, like, I personally remember when I was down at Otago, like, one of the food that I craved the most was eggs when I was living in a hostel. Because, like, we hardly have eggs. I remember it was only, like, once or twice every month. So that was kind of, like, an interesting feeling. So the reason why I'm talking about eggs today is because there's an egg contamination scandal that's happening in the EU. But it's just, like, it seems odd and interesting. It's just, like, I mean, like, and usually you hear scandals coming from China, especially about the milk powder and also fake meat and stuff. But I feel like everything that's happening in Europe is actually becoming more and more frequent. So the news broke out saying that there's egg manufacturers from the Netherlands and also in Belgium that they've been using these, they contaminated these eggs with these insecticides, and basically that's not safe for human consumption. So one of the issues with these insecticides is that it actually is really bad for the kidneys, bad for the liver, and is really bad for human consumption. Yes, it's used to basically to kill off the lice and also these other bugs that's living on these chickens, but it is definitely banned from the EU. So when they found out, when the Belgium and also the Dutch authorities found out, they didn't really tell everyone what was going on until only recently that food was being recalled. And then it's just slowly, people were slowly like finding out what's happening. So in this case, it actually spread to Switzerland, even though it's like, it's not part of the EU, but it's still in Europe, but it's actually spreading to Hong Kong as well, because Hong Kong definitely does import quite a lot of food from around the world. So, I don't know, it's just like, it just seems like a big issue about like the whole contamination and food products. Have you ever been afraid of like not knowing where your food is coming from? I think that's one of the problems about globalization is that food is becoming more and more it's being traded between different countries. And then one of the good things is that, yes, there's plenty of food. But one of the bad things is that it's untraceable. Sometimes it's really hard to know where our food is coming from. So, eggs. I know it just seems a bit different compared to, actually initially I was about to talk about food fraud, but it's just like the more I was delving into eggs is actually more and more of an interesting story. Because like this year, New Zealand have been having their own egg story as well, is that there's been a manufacturer that actually was false labeling or like basically not telling, deceiving the consumers about them selling free-range eggs. I don't know if you buy free-range eggs. I personally don't because, like, I personally could not afford it. But I really like the idea that animals are roaming around. They are allowed to basically just in their natural habitat and then just doing their thing. But one of the issues in New Zealand is that the regulatory system isn't really robust. And one of the things is that it doesn't really have a standard or it doesn't really have a way of monitoring free-range eggs. I know that a lot of my friends do that. Do you guys do that? So New Zealand is among one of the highest countries, one of the highest consumers in terms of eggs. So we consume around 230 basically eggs a year. That's actually really high compared to like around the world. And one of the best things about New Zealand is that since we're so far away from the rest of the world, we actually tend to don't have like bird flu or like different diseases that actually like that affect our poultry industry. Around 3.4 million hens produce more than 1 billion eggs a year, and it's driven. It's one of the reasons why people want to one of the reason why people would like to buy free-range eggs or the idea of free-range eggs is that it's actually giving the chickens a better welfare and also ethics issues. even though there are some flaws in the system, it's just like, I think one of, it's a good idea that people are maybe buying into the idea that it's just like, we are thinking about our animals and also like caring about the environment and how they live. So the demand of free-range eggs have definitely increased over the past several years. It actually increased increased 16% in 2016 compared to 2015, and it shot up to around $80 million compared to $68 million in 2005. 3 out of 4 consumers would buy free-range eggs at least sometime, and there are just like so many different brands. I've always wondered, how do they manage to make so many free-range eggs? Because like one of the things that I'm really curious about is that, do we really have that much land for chickens? I mean, like, I've seen a lot of cattle, a lot of like dairy cows, and also different animals roaming around, but it's just like, I don't think we're really that renowned of actually having cageless eggs around the country. Most of our chickens are actually kept in cages. And then this is from Consumer New Zealand, saying that regular purchasers think that free-range eggs should mean that hens spend most of their time roaming outside. But, as I said before, there isn't really a guideline of how the birds roam, about the birds and their living standard. So that's like definitely one of the issues, I think. That is probably one of the reasons why I don't buy free-range eggs, is that there isn't really a defined definition of what it is. But like I was searching for online, and in the term of free-range eggs definitely do differ between different countries. In some countries, it states that it needs to be outside. And then in some countries, it just says that some chickens just must have the opportunity to go outside, but they don't have to be outside. I'm just going to play you this little clip from NPR and let Dan Charles to explain about cage-free eggs.
In the rolling farmland near Hershey, Pennsylvania, there's a brand new pair of chicken houses. And inside one of those houses, instead of the standard banks of cages, 18,000 chickens are milling around in the floor. Some are perched on metal bars. A few are madly pecking away at my boots. I have no idea why. The chickens just arrived here a few weeks ago. So did the farmer, actually. Harold Sensnick is a young man, newly married.
I've been living here about 4 weeks now. Moved in a week before chickens came, got married 2 weeks before that.
These chickens aren't free-range or organic. They don't get to go outside, but they do get to roam around inside the house. So they're cage-free. Sensnick built this kind of chicken house partly because he can get more money for cage-free eggs, twice as much. And the man who's promised to buy them is also here, Paul Souder, owner of Souder's Eggs.
It's the demand. It's driving it. I mean, I wouldn't go to the risk of paying double the price for these eggs versus commodity if I didn't have the demand pushing it on the other side.
Souder's company will sell these eggs to supermarkets or Aramark, the food service company, or Unilever, which makes Hellmann's mayonnaise. Aramark and Unilever have announced that eventually they'll only buy cage-free eggs. Doug Ballantyne, Director of Nutrition and Health for Unilever North America, says when the company announced this plan a few years ago, they couldn't find enough cage-free eggs.
There wasn't even enough cage-free egg for us to do Hellmann's Light mayonnaise initially, and it's going to take us about 5 years of working with the egg suppliers so that we can convert all the egg farmers just to supply the eggs for Hellmann's mayonnaise.
Nationwide, about 8% of all eggs come from cage-free houses. For Paul Souder's business, it's 10 or 12% and growing every year. It's more expensive to produce eggs this way, he says. It takes more space for the same number of chickens because you can't stack them on top of each other. And there's more work involved. Somebody has to walk through the chicken house, collecting stray eggs that chickens laid on the ground rather than in their enclosed nests. But companies like Unilever or Aramark, he says, are responding to consumers who read labels more carefully than ever before.
And the perception that cage-free is a better product than ones from a conventional cage house.
Do you believe it?
From a nutrition standpoint, the egg is the same.
At the same time, he says there are things he really likes about this kind of chicken house. You're closer to the animals, the way you used to be 40 years ago. and you see more natural chicken behavior, dust bathing, for instance, or birds perching on long metal rods up near the ceiling.
You come in here at nighttime, those things are all full up there because birds migrate to the top perches because that's where they feel the safest.
Whether that means the chickens are really better off, though, still may depend on how you look at it. In Michigan, scientists are carrying out a large-scale experiment with three different chicken houses. One has chickens in traditional cages. One has so-called enriched cages that are bigger and include nests and perches. And a third house is cage-free.
We have, I think, over 300 cameras mounted within those systems to be able to collect data.
That's Janice Swanson from Michigan State University, one of the scientists who's in charge of the study. It's funded by egg producers. Swanson says they're measuring everything about each system, how clean the air is, how healthy the chickens are, how much it costs. Also, chicken behavior. On the third floor of the Michigan State Animal Sciences Building, students are watching videotapes, counting how often the chickens spread their wings or peck each other. Swanson says they want to measure all these things because there may be trade-offs between different goals. For instance, in cage-free systems, chicken litter builds up on the floor, so chickens scratch around and dust bathe in their own waste.
There are concerns about that relative to egg safety. Now, for the hen's behavioral repertoire, this is cool. We can get down and we can dust bathe and so on.
The experiment has been running for a year now. Here are some preliminary observations. Hens in cages were cleaner, but cage-free chickens kept more of their feathers. Cage-free hens had more freedom, of course, but twice as many of them died during the year. Swanson says this is just one production cycle. It will take a while longer to draw any firm conclusions. Dan Charles, NPR News.
Welcome back, guys. So today we'll be talking about eggs, specifically on free-range eggs. I mean, like, it's just like, it's just been always on the news about, like, the egg issue. It's just like whether to buy free-range or cage-free. So earlier on, we were listening to Dan Charles, and he was discussing about cage-free eggs. And then, so some of the issues with conventional eggs, consumers are forced to, some of the issues with free-range eggs is that consumers are forced to rely on producers about like how they label themselves and how to define free-range eggs. So that, like I stated earlier, and also there's a lack of awareness of like what the standards are. So like when there are some different regulatory guidelines of like how big a barn should be, or like how big a cage should be, how many chickens there should be in within a cage. So there isn't really a well-defined guideline. Basically, there are minimal standards from MPI. And majority of the eggs that's produced in New Zealand are in a cage system, so in basically known as like factory farming. This was introduced back in the 60s. Basically, it's to intensify and basically to increase the production of food products, because like back then there was like kind of an idea that there was a food shortage. And the conditions as a result to describe the industrialized cruelty. So people would actually like would feel that this is definitely a cruelty to animals because like they couldn't really move. Most of the chickens actually spend around 18 months. So that's like basically how long they live. So they spend around 18 months of their lives within a battery cage. This causes them to have weak bones and also like broken legs because there's a lack of movement and also sunlight. There's also been a bit of a problem about their behaviors as well, because like hens definitely, as we all know, different animals have like different kind of like hierarchical system. And in chickens, there's a pecking order. And because like they've been forced into this really small environment, some of the chickens are quite stressed. And then you could definitely see some defeathering. And also there is just like, you could definitely see them just like attacking each other. Some of them are trampling each other. And then like in some documentaries, and you like see some statements from like different places, states that there are some cannibalism happening. And then like for some farmers, if there's been an issue of like pecking, they would sometimes use a laser and also like cut off the tip of their beak so the chickens won't hurt themselves. So the reason why I'm talking about this, partly because of the what's happening in the EU, and then like earlier, a few months ago, there was a scandal that happened in New Zealand. So I don't know if you guys know this brand. I personally didn't really know this brand until a few days ago, that there was a company called Palace Poultry. So this company hit headlines a few months ago. Basically, it was an investigation by RNZ stating it's just like, how could they have more free-range eggs than they produce? And then, like, as it turns out, there's a bit of, like, a bit of swapping labels, and there's, like, mislabeling one product putting into, like, a different name. So it was just, like, a interesting, it was, like, story. And then, like, this was... this hit headlines 3 years after the Northland egg farmer. If you guys don't remember, he was mislabeling different products as well, from conventional cage eggs into like free range eggs. I mean, like, this is definitely really affects everyone in a way. It affects basically the consumers, us. It affects the industry, and it definitely like affects our whole supply chain, because it's just like, it just makes things really complicated. It's just like, do we really know what we're eating or what we're buying in the end? So here are some of the issues that was raised, especially from Palace Poultry and also the Northland farmer, about free-range eggs. One of the issues that was stated is that MPI does inspect egg farms annually, like trying to meet the guidelines of like food safety, but they don't really have a guideline on free range eggs, so it could be just like anything. The inspections don't really extend to checking about the packaging claims, so that's really up to you. So that's really up to like the farmers of whatever they like to put on the label. And there's no guarantee if the eggs were actually genuine. I mean, not genuine enough to be free range. And then the consumers don't really know what's happening. And also, it's like free range eggs, remember, it doesn't really mean that they're cruelty free as well. And then it's just like some of the cases, it's really annoying, because it's a lot of deception as well. It's just like, it's really deceiving us, like what we know and what we don't know. And it's all about their honesty. But of course, even though it's just like, it's getting better, because like the industry is definitely, there's different like labeling systems, and there's different ways of like increasing the production of free range eggs. It's getting better, and there's a growing demand. Like I said before, 3 out of 4 consumers buy free range eggs, at least at some times. And shoppers are opting for free range, and they pay a premium, which is around like twice the price of like conventional eggs. I'm going to just play you a little clip from NPR. Basically, it's about how consumers in the US egg producers are now choosing cage-free eggs. Notice the word cage-free, not free-range. About how like different companies are opting to this option. And then we'll listen to an interview by Dan Charles and also Sharpera from the NPR network.
The future of eggs appears to be cage-free. More than a dozen big food companies have announced that they will buy only cage-free eggs in the future. The list includes McDonald's, Denny's, and others. The latest announcement came just today. And in a major shift, the egg industry appears to be just fine with this. NPR's Dan Charles is with us. Hi, Dan.
Nice to be here.
Is this all driven by concern over how the chickens are treated?
Yeah, it is. Egg producers half a century ago put their chickens into cages essentially for efficiency reasons. It was a way to mechanize everything. The eggs drop from the chickens and roll in one direction down to a belt, which takes them out for processing. Chicken manure drops down onto another belt, which goes a different direction. Basically, it's a way of having large numbers of chickens in one house, and very few people are required to take care of them.
But it looks really bad when you see images of all of these chickens crammed into cages, unable to move. Many people see these videos, read articles about it, and conclude this is inhumane.
Right, and those videos and stories have had a big effect. Advocates for animal welfare have been campaigning against this for many years. They had a big success in California some years back when a proposition was passed that said all eggs in California have to come from chickens that have the ability to spread their wings and turn around. This came into effect about a year ago. And over the past year, it's gone beyond that. Company after company has announced that in the future, now this will take some years, maybe a decade to carry out, but in the future, they will only buy eggs that are cage-free. You mentioned some names, but there's also Subway, Costco, and the announcement today came from Mondelez International, maker of Nabisco crackers and Chips Ahoy cookies. I talked to the president of a company called Big Dutchman USA, which it's the biggest maker of these chicken housing systems, both cages and cage-free. His name's Clovis Raisel. And he said in the past year, most of their orders are coming from egg producers who want to go cage-free.
It is a very interesting, very big change compared to some years ago. And it is, I would say, even more interesting because we are seeing this change solely based in the market.
By the market, meaning that customers are demanding cage-free and farmers are responding.
What does that phrase actually mean? What do chickens in a cage-free environment, what does that environment look like?
First of all, they are not running around outside on the pasture.
This is not Old MacDonald Had a Farm.
No. This is still a very big barn filled with tens of thousands of chickens. But they have the freedom to go where they want. They can roam around on the floor. They can perch on rails, scratch in the dirt. And they can go into little nests and lay their eggs. But as in the cage systems, the eggs then roll onto a belt and go out to where they're needed.
One reason the egg industry resisted this so long was fears that it would drive costs way up. Is that still a concern?
That's right. You know, for years, the industry said this is impossible. We need cages. It's the only efficient way to produce eggs that people can afford. But there were laws in Europe that actually got rid of cages there. And the industry in Europe developed these cage-free systems and refined them. And the industry in the U.S. has figured out that these systems can be efficient, too. Costs are higher, maybe 15 cents per dozen of eggs. But if egg buyers are fine with a little extra cost, the egg producers are happy to switch. Not all of them, but so many are going cage-free, it's really a sea change in the industry.
NPR's Dan Charles covers food and agriculture for us. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
So with like the whole thing about like people not knowing about like what they're eating and also like the labeling issue, actually there's a company down at Dunedin that's actually like fingerprinting free-range eggs to prevent food fraud. So this was definitely like initially the story that I wanted to talk about this week because it's just like it's fascinating about food fraud. So there's this company down at Dunedin that's basically beginning to actually like fingerprinting like different basically, it's just like different eggs, especially specifically free-range eggs, from the producer called Farm Pride. And also like foodstuffers are actually like getting onto this as well because they have a free-range eggs line as well from PAMS. And also basically there are chemicals within the food products that's actually really distinctive compared to the conventional ones. I'm not too sure, but it's just that according to the article, it said that there are chemical fingerprints that's actually really unique compared to conventional eggs. And they're basically using some chemical analysis and also like different methods that was actually specifically for forensic science. And then they're just basically taking it into food science and then basically like identifying which ones are free range and then which one are conventional eggs and then basically stamping it and then making sure that these are the legit things in the market. And of course, it's just like if there's food fraud, it's actually a major problem with the brand itself. Because it affects the brand, it affects basically the supply chain, and also like it affects everyone's trust and also the cost of the product. Of course, we all want genuine food products. We don't want something that's fake. So this is like kind of like the CSI firm for the food world, and it basically like helps customers to protect their brand and also their reputation. It basically allows everyone to be more conscious and more cautious about what they're eating. Of course, nobody really wants food fraud, but it is becoming more and more frequent. Depending where you're from, I don't think it's so much in New Zealand and Australia, but it's definitely more frequent in China. As we could see, there's like so many like different stories about fake soy sauce, fake meat. And then up in Europe, there's like the horse meat scandal, which was like basically took everything by storm. So it really just like it, but basically like bring us to be more aware of like what we're trying to eat. Some of the labeling systems for free-range eggs are the SPCA system, which is like a blue tick on basically eggs that actually meet their basically like their regulatory guidelines. But one of the issues with like the SPCA is actually it doesn't really penalize people that actually don't state what they're doing. So this was stated from one of the firms, the reason why they pulled out, even though they are a free-range egg line that produces free-range eggs, is that it doesn't really basically states which ones are genuine and also which ones are fake. And also this is a voluntary join-in scheme. So it really depends on like whether if you've got the money and whether you've got the time to actually do it. I'm pretty sure that it's just like there are strengths and weaknesses of this whole industry because it's definitely picking up. I mean, some of the strengths is that because like there's so much demand, actually I don't think like conventional egg industries are actually able to do this. Maybe sometimes like small and medium sized free range egg businesses might actually take advantage of this and actually make it more of a niche product and then make it more exclusive, make it more special. And because it's perceived as a better quality, I'm pretty sure like they could definitely sell it in a more of a premium and definitely make it of like a luxury product. Some of the weaknesses of free-range eggs is that there's a lack of communication and trust within the supply chain. It doesn't really have much support from the government and also like people that actually doesn't care. I think one of the things that could be improved is that there's probably like government support of free-range eggs and also promoting about like animal welfare and also the ethics of our food. Because of the lack of trust and also the lack of basically all these ways of monitoring, I think this is like a kind of like a good time to actually like ask ourselves, is this really a good system? And of course, there's always like different opportunities and also threats. The opportunities of free range eggs is that it's definitely a growing business. I remember I was talking about like water as like one of the topics last week. It's just like probably this is a good way of like for some different companies to actually like transition themselves and then make their product to be a really good, genuine luxury product and probably export this to different countries. It is basically perceived to be a more healthier food. And also, it's like basically like increasing the awareness of animal welfare, which is kind of like a win-win for everyone. I mean, you know that your food is coming from a genuine source, and then like basically happy chickens make happy eggs, and basically it's just like it seems to be like an all-win for everyone. One of the threats, though, is that it's definitely the environmental policies defining like free-range eggs. Because I was looking at one of the labeling issues that Australia actually started. They actually like instead of 1,000 chickens per hectare or something, they tried to increase it to like 20,000, which is like quite a lot. And you're like, just like it's really hard to actually know the ethics, the morals, and also it's like the appreciation of the animal. Could the animal actually appreciate what we're doing to them, or they don't really care? I mean, this is like it depends on which side you're standing. And of course, there's for different reasons. It's like basically ultimately it's just like it's always the consumers that's going to bear the cost if the food product is not genuine and it's not meeting what we expect. It's like basically it just hurts everyone's pockets, really. It's hurting the company's pockets, it's hurting our pockets if we're not basically getting a product that we want. So yeah, that's all we have for this week, and then like I hope I will see you guys again. See you guys.